Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, this is for my friends Marcus, Mike, and Todd. Thank you for voting me as the most impressive debut at Raw of this decade. Thank you. I send you a big hug, and for all those, listen to WrestleChat Radio from your friend Angel Garza. And remember, el Latino está en la casa, baby.
You're listening to WrestleChat Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of WrestleChat Radio's Raw Report. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York, and for the next hour, we will be discussing last night's insane Monday Night Raw. We're laughing here in the studio a little bit. Last night's insane Monday Night Raw at 347-215-8486. 347-215-8486. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, of course, as always, you can hit us up in the chat room. We can take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. We were talking before we went on the air, myself and a couple of the guys who produced the show, and whoa, boy. Folks, when I shut off Raw last night, I had one question. What the hell did I just watch? What in the hell did I just watch? Now let's add to it. This is the go-home show for Sunday's Clash of Champions Gold Rush. And I am just perplexed. I'm amazed. I'm dumbfounded. I'm profoundly disappointed at the ridiculous, lazy, illogical, moronic booking of this Monday Night Raw. It's to the point where there is just no reason. I can't give you any reason to have any faith in the WWE anymore. I cannot give you any reason to have faith in the WWE. Time and time again, I say, let's give them the benefit of the doubt. They're working on something good. Let's give them the benefit of the doubt. They've got some things, you know, on the horizon that could be great, and they always blow it. Always blow it. So let's start off last night right away with the ridiculous announcement that Retribution has signed a WWE contract. So somebody please tell me in what universe this makes any sense whatsoever. A group dedicated to the destruction of the WWE signs a contract with the WWE, and the contract says they can do anything to anyone at any time. Somebody better tell Otis about that contract, because I guess he's getting sued for his Money in the Bank briefcase because he can't do anything to anyone at any time. I have no clue how they expect you to swallow this crap. If you're going to have a rebel group who's dedicating themselves to chaos and destruction of your federation, you can't ask us to swallow that they've signed contracts. You can ask us to swallow that there's an unsanctioned match, that the Hurt Business demanded a match and you said it's unsanctioned, but you can have it if they show up. You can ask us to swallow all that. You can't ask us to swallow that they've signed a contract. I mean, for the love of God. And then they unmask and you hand them the following names. T-Bar is Dominic Dijakovic. Sean Thorne is Slapjack. And Dio Madden is Mace. Mace, T-Bar, and Slapjack. Who the hell wrote this? I mean, just who the hell wrote this? One guy's got a Bane mask on. One guy's got a Friday the 13th mask on. The only person that looks reasonably okay is Dio Madden. This is the way you want to introduce Dominic Dijakovic? All I can say, Mike, is I am stunned by the ineptness of which they have handled this retribution thing, and you can just smell that this thing is going to come to an end the same way that Nexus came to an end.
Right. And that's the thing. I want to say I'd be interested what they're going to call Mia Yim and Mercedes Martinez, the two women in the group. But again, it would be something equally idiotic. And furthermore, this would be, if they hadn't have done the whole contract deal, that would be a hell of a motivation for them to keep on creating havoc. Oh, you're not going to give us our contract? We're going to keep creating havoc.
Right, or we're going to beat the people that you put up against us to the point where you're going to have to give us a contract because we're beating all your top guys. Of course, that's the motivation. Mike, they've signed a contract. They can do anything to anybody at any time. I mean, it's almost laughable.
Yeah, it is almost laughable, and that's the thing. And like I said, they didn't give them names yet, but you know they've already got names from Mia Yim and Mercedes Martinez. You know that, right?
Maybe they do or maybe they don't. Maybe they'll just come up with it and say, I don't know, what do you want to call her? I don't know. Let's call her Sadie and Bones. Yeah, come on. What are we, in a Mad Max movie? Holy God, was that bad. I mean, out of all of the, and it's not really their debut because they've been on before, but their wrestling debut. This has got to be. You know, at the beginning of the show, we heard Angel Garza say, we voted the most impressive Raw debut of the decade, and we did. And I mean it. This has got to be the worst. This is likely the worst debut of the decade. You have wasted three guys who have some potential in just this ridiculous angle. And what, you sign them all? Or just you sign the five? Because later on we see, you know, another dozen come out. By the way, isn't it interesting how three guys challenge the Hurt Business when 27 of them couldn't get it done last week? I'm telling you, when I saw this opening, I said, we knew the show was doomed from the beginning, Todd. Hello,
you're
Todd.
Right. Yeah, I'm
okay.
Here.
Okay.
Well, I remember back in the day when you had the NWO made their debut. They didn't sign contracts right away. One of the first matches they had, it was an unsanctioned match. I think it was Bash at the Beach or something.
Yep.
The 96 pay-per-view. And when the NWO first formed.
Right.
And they did it the right way. And they did what they want without signing the contracts or anything. Destroying spray painting property, destroying other things, being a people.
So let me get this straight. They launched a Molotov cocktail at a production thing, and you reward them with a contract. See, the way the story should have played out is the chaos was going to continue, and the Hurt Business said, look, we don't have any right. Especially on the outside. If they come in here, we have the right to hit them or whatever. But on the outside here, we don't, you know, that's law enforcement stuff. We don't have any right to touch them. You bring them in here. See, right now they're outsiders. You bring them in here. You let them step in the ring and we'll take care of them. There won't be any more chaos behind the scenes or in front of the scenes. There won't be any more chaos because we'll take care of them. That makes logical sense. This doesn't. It's just terrible. Now, speaking of illogical, we now have a three-team match to decide the number one contendership. And I say to myself, okay, well, suddenly Humberto Carrillo and Dominic Mysterio are a tag team. Okay. Murphy and Rollins are back on the same page, at least for one night, and they're going to take their chances. And Angel Garza and Andrade, who I just assume we're going to see an implosion. So I said, well, this is what's going to happen. It's probably going to be Dominic and Humberto. We'll probably see Seth and Buddy Murphy implode, and then we'll see Angel Garza and Andrade implode, and by proxy, the match will go to Dominic Mysterio and Humberto Carrillo. No. The match goes to Angel Garza and Andrade, who are back on the side. Do you know how many times they've wrestled? 9 times. This will be 9. This will be the 9th time in some form that they've wrestled Street Profits. In literally like 2 months. This is insane. And what are we supposed to take away from this? That it was Zelina Vega's fault that this whole thing was imploding? Because that's what the way you made it look. Because they certainly didn't implode last night. Oh, no, all bygones are gone. Forget it. You left me to get, you know, to get beat up at the hands of retribution. You know, you're too busy with your girlfriends to protect me, your partner. I don't care. Bygones be bygones. What? So you've dropped that whole storyline, I guess, huh? Or you're going to continue it, but just not last night. Last night, everything's great. And you have the opportunity, by the way, to have really had something intriguing going on with perhaps Buddy Murphy and Seth Rollins going for the tag team belts with Buddy Murphy's heart not maybe being 100% into this. You had that opportunity where you say, ooh, something big's going to go down at Clash of Champions. This is where Murphy and Rollins are going to have their big fallout. That would have been interesting. Or Dominic Mysterio and Humberto Carrillo would have been interesting because given it's the Street Profits, that would be, you know, a hell of a good match. No, you went for the match that you've had 100 times. Mike, I can't make any sense of it.
I don't get it either. I mean, you know, we saw what they did later on, with, and we'll get into that with Dominic Mysterio and the family. But if you're gonna use him, you gotta find other ways to try to shoehorn Paul Humberto Carrillo into an angle with Dominic Mysterio, his family, and Seth Rollins. You know, that's basically what they did with that. I mean,
yeah.
It didn't make any sense. I mean. If Ray was healthier, then, you know, we could get Ray and Dominic together, and they'd have been in a match. But again, Ray's not healthy right now. Yeah. So, just goes to show you
their lack of tag teams. They have to come up with Humberto Carrillo at the last second. Anyway, the Garza thing makes no sense because those two guys should be at each other's throats. It was Zelina Vega who was trying to keep them together. It was those two guys who were at each other's throat. It wasn't Zelina Vega instigating. She was far from the instigator. She was the one who was trying to keep it together. So now, well, what are we supposed to assume? That it was her fault? I mean, that's just terrible. I'm sorry. That's just terrible. Drew McIntyre versus Keith Lee with, once again, the stipulation. Are you ready for this stipulation? Because you really have to think about this. If Keith Lee wins, he gets to take Randy Orton's place at Clash of Champions in an ambulance match only if Randy Orton can't compete. But if Randy Orton can compete, it doesn't matter whether Keith Lee wins or loses. He's not in the match. Okay. Okay. So what happens? Well, the same thing that happens every Keith Lee match. There's a disqualification. Keith Lee has had 6 matches. 4 of his 6 matches have been finishes of disqualification or count out or whatever. He's only had 2 clean matches. 2. You're wasting Keith Lee. And by the way, the finish of the match is always the same. The guy hits his finisher. Randy Orton hits the RKO, but Drew McIntyre interferes. This time it's Drew McIntyre hits the Claymore, but Randy Orton interferes. So both times he made it look like Keith Lee was done. Not many people kick out of the RKO, and no one has kicked out of the Claymore. So our assumption is that Keith Lee really isn't on their level because he keeps getting hit with their finisher, and he's just getting saved by virtue of someone jumping in the ring and getting him disqualified. Randy Orton then cuts a promo that just, listen, he blew it. Okay? Randy Orton's often good at promos. Last night, he was not good at promos. He made ridiculous statements like, no, he didn't hit me with one Claymore, two, or even three. He hit me with, oh, no, wait a minute, he did hit me with three. Okay. And then he says, well, and then, you know, on my way to the hospital, I was fading in and out of consciousness. And you're fading in and out of consciousness. You weren't even fading in and out of consciousness when you were getting hit with it. It's just, it was a bad effort all the way around. Bad effort. And Mike, they're undermining Keith Lee again because this is twice now. He's been hit with a finisher where it looked like he was probably done had someone not come in and got the disqualification.
Right. They're undermining him. Really, they haven't really let him hit. And, you know, I mean, they keep telling us, well, you know, he can do more than this and that and this and that. And, yeah, he did that dive over the top rope, but they're not allowing him. We've only seen one couple of spirit bombs that we don't see what essentially is the Goldberg, the finisher there. We don't see that. And, you know, what else? I mean, he's a great athlete, and they're not allowing him to do anything in terms of what he can do in the ring. And we know what Drew McIntyre can do. We know what Randy Orton can do. We thought he was going to be a big deal. They're turning that around again. How many times have we thought, oh, this guy is going to be a big deal when he gets up there? I mean, we said that all the time about, you basically said, bring Aleister Black up now.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He's going to be huge, you know.
Yep.
And they screwed that up, and they're screwing Keith Lee up again, you know.
And they're going to continue to screw it up because they just don't know how to build talent anymore. I don't know why they have stopped understanding how you build talent, but they have stopped. So let me get to some out-of-order stuff here because it's kind of crazy. First off, Todd, let me get your impression on this Keith Lee thing. I mean, he's not winning any matches, and he's always taking the finisher and then getting saved. This is not the way to build up Keith Lee.
You're absolutely right there. Like you said about this thing with Keith Lee's getting losing all the time, I got that, by the looks of it, I had that gut feeling when he first came on the main roster. That gut feeling I have, they're going to bury him. They're going to bury him right then and there. Like,
well, I don't know if they're going to bury him, but they're not making him look good right now. I mean, he's taking the finisher. He's not losing, but I mean, what are we supposed to assume? Has anyone kicked out of the Claymore? No. So my assumption is he wasn't going to kick out of the Claymore either. So Drew McIntyre was going to beat him, if not for Randy Orton. Not many people kick out of the RKO, so my assumption would have been that Randy Orton would have beaten him had it not been for Drew McIntyre. This is not good for Keith Lee. By the way, I should say the one good thing on Raw is Jerry Lawler was back. I know a lot of people don't like him. I miss the hell out of him. I thought, you know, if this show had went on with Samoa Joe, it would have been worse, because at least Lawler can sell some ridiculous stuff that a lot of people just can't sell. Anyway, R-Truth, for whatever reason, there's a camera ahead of time with Tozawa and a ninja planning a sneak attack on R-Truth at a beach. And then the camera goes to R-Truth. The cameraman never bothers to tell him, by the way, Tozawa's there. It's a ludicrous, just an absolutely ludicrous segment. But what makes it even worse, he's incorporated little Jimmy back again. And apparently Tozawa was eaten by a shark. And a pro wrestling program. Apparently Tozawa was devoured by a shark, I guess. I'm sure they're going to bring him back next week saying he either spit him up or he was able to avoid him or just ate one of the ninja. I mean, this is no one could save this. Tozawa's very good at what he does. R-Truth is very good at what he does. You can't save this. Okay. No one in the world could save this. This was absolutely ridiculous. and a waste of about, I don't know, 4 or 5 minutes where I'm literally shaking my head saying, what am I watching, Mike?
Right. This is early. This is early. Not Attitude Era. This is WWF era, you know. This is 1980s, early 1990s era crap that we would consistently see back then. You know, yeah, you would have, you know, the segments with, what's his name, Piper hitting people with pineapples and stuff, but we got that, okay? That was good stuff. We would get stuff like this every so often in that era, basically, this is a cartoon.
Yeah. No, that's exactly what it is. It's a cartoon, and it's not a very enjoyable one. Anyway, Zelina Vega takes on Mickie James for the number one contendership because why? Well, I'll tell you why. Because you haven't built up any women in your division to go after Asuka, knowing clearly you were going to give her the championship. Knowing clearly Becky Lynch was going to be away for a while, you didn't bother to build anyone up that would be a great contender for Asuka. We knew it wasn't going to be Mickie James because she's already had her match and lost. So how in the world a woman who loses a match against the champion on TV gets put back into a number one contenders match is beyond my comprehension. Does that happen in boxing? You know, I'm on my way to the, you know, I'm fighting the champ. I got knocked out. Well, that's okay. I'm fighting him again next week. That doesn't happen. You had your shot. You lost. Where's everybody else? Oh, there aren't anybody else. So Zelina Vega gets a 1 week push. 1 week. She didn't do anything last week. She just dumped Andrade and Angel Garza and went into the ring and yelled at Asuka. And all the, automatically she's the number one contender because why? How many matches has she had on television? How many matches has she won? So she's the number one contender. She's going for the number one contendership. Why? Based on what? And then wins. Because, of course, she has to win. Because how are you going to have it be Mickie James when Mickie James has already lost last week to the champ? How is that logical? It should have been Zelina Vega against someone else. Why would it be against Mickie James? Oh, I never submitted. The referee made a mistake. Please. I mean, it just makes my head explode. Zelina Vega's thrown in there because she has to be thrown in there because you don't have anyone else. Who are we going to get against Asuka? You know, we got Clash of Champions coming up, and every champion has to defend their belt, and we haven't built anybody up to face Asuka. Damn it, you're right. Well, who do we have on the roster? We got Mickie James. We can pull Mickie James out of mothballs. Yeah, I don't know. How about somebody else? I don't know. What about Zelina Vega? Well, she hasn't wrestled much, and she's a manager. Well, have her ditch the team, go in there and yell at Asuka, and then we'll have her win a match, and that's it. It's good enough. That's good enough. She'll be the number one contender. That's great. I've seen the light. Zelina Vega is well underrated and needs to have her shot. Really? I'm not saying Zelina Vega's not good. I'm not saying that she doesn't deserve a shot. I'm just saying the way you booked her, this is absolutely illogical. How can you be the number one contender when you haven't even wrestled, Todd?
You're absolutely right there, like you said about Zelina Vega and everything. And she haven't won not one match. She haven't won any since she's started to wrestle. Not one. And she just handed a title shot just like that. You gotta build that person up before you get them to the top, and possibly a title shot. But this is lazy booking right there, lazy writing. That's not the right way to build somebody, just handing them a championship title match.
That's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Number one, Mickie James comes out of mothballs. We haven't seen her in months. And she gets a non-title match, I guess, against Asuka and loses. And then she gets put in the number one contender match. Zelina Vega's not wrestled at all. And she gets put in the number one contender match because she just yelled at Asuka. It would have made more sense if you put Peyton Royce in there. Peyton Royce, who later on fights her on Raw, it would have been a hell of a lot more sense. You could have built up that one of those two girls is going to get a title shot and they have to wrestle each other on Raw, either Peyton Royce or her partner there. And then it could have been more of that strained friendship where you say, well, I'm happy for you that you won. But is she really? I'll be there in your corner, but was she really? You would have had some branches on that tree, Mike. Instead, you just went for the lazy way.
Right, and here's something else to think about, Marcus. Had they not so alienated Kairi Sane and misused her, this could have been a chance to, if not have her turn on her, have her have a friendly rivalry with her ex-tag team partner. If they hadn't let her go or whatever, or fired her or whatever, and misused her, this could have been that, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, if you had your dithers, you could have made a really great storyline out of that, you know, and it would have been fantastic. Instead, what do we get? A woman who up to now has been basically a manager and had maybe one or two wrestling matches, couple of which she lost, is the number one contender by virtue of beating a woman who has had one match in 6 months. I mean, I'm sorry, that just doesn't make any sense. In anybody's planet, that makes no sense. We then get, of all things, the Monday Night Messiah, Seth Rollins, comes down, and he's got paperwork in his hand, and I'm saying, Jesus, God, I'm getting tired of this. And he says, I looked at this picture of Rey Mysterio and his family, and look at Dominic, and then look at Rey. Look at Dominic, and then look at Rey. Something doesn't seem right there. Well, I don't know. Rey's got a mask on. So I don't know if they look like each other, Seth, because one of them is wearing a wrestling mask. If you're saying one is tall and one is short, God have mercy, we're going to go down this hallway again? So I took it upon myself to have a DNA test done. Well, that would be very difficult because they would both have to submit to that DNA test, wouldn't they? So that wouldn't be much of a surprise to either one of them. So now my head is exploding with how dumb this is and how you're going to go down this same road again that you went with Eddie Guerrero. And Rey Mysterio and his family come out. And he says, I have the results of the DNA test. And Rey, you are not the father. Oh, God almighty. So Rey rightfully says, Jesus, you know, we've done this before. This is just dumb. And he says, oh, no, wait. Maybe you're right. Maybe I'm wrong here. See, I said just test the Rey Mysterio's kid. Rey Mysterio's kid. Well, then... that's how specific you have to be to get a DNA test. Test the kid of a guy who has more than one kid. But then he says, well, it doesn't really have anything to do with the DNA test because how can she be your daughter if she expressed any kind of concern over my disciple? Please explain to me how that makes sense. Please explain to me how that makes sense. The proof that that's not your daughter is that she stopped for a moment to see if Murphy was okay. So that can't be your daughter. What? I don't even know where this is going. This was embarrassing. And you could tell Seth Rollins was embarrassed. You could tell this was dumb, and he knew it was dumb. And you can tell the whole Mysterio family thought it was dumb. This isn't just dumb. This reaches a new level of dumb. And then Rey says, look, she's 19 years old. She doesn't understand anything about our world. And then she storms out. And the mother goes chasing her. There was nothing, a zero, good about this segment, except Buddy Murphy later coming on over to her and saying, look, this whole Seth Rollins thing has gotten out of hand. And if I caused your family any hardship or whatever, I regret it and I'm sorry, and walking away. That's good. because that has set up exactly what I said should be set up, and that is, is Buddy Murphy trying to get back in the good graces of Seth Rollins by leading them into a trap, or is Buddy Murphy legitimately trying to break away from Seth Rollins and having second thoughts? And we don't know, and it's going to depend on your perspective, and it's probably going to divide the Mysterio family. That part is okay. But Mike, how they got there was insanely bad.
And look, here's the deal. We know there are pictures of Rey Mysterio without his mask. Because remember, I believe in WCW that they had him take his mask off?
Yeah.
At one point?
So yeah.
There are pictures of him in tights without his mask on. And I assume that the WWE owns the rights to those pictures because they happened on WCW TV and they own WCW. So I'm assuming that they have the rights to those pictures. All one would have to do is get one of those pictures and look at Dominic and look at that picture, and you could tell just by doing that. They didn't have to go through all this, and it could just
But the problem is, it's not even where it was leading. He's not even saying Dominic's not his son. He's just saying, I had a DNA test done, but the DNA test doesn't mean anything because really the proof is that it's not your daughter, is that she stopped for one moment to see if Buddy Murphy was okay. God have mercy. Is that the best your writers can come up with, seriously? Why did you have to do the whole DNA test thing? Why didn't you just have Seth Rollins come out and say, hey, Ray, you know, you come out here like your whole family is against me. You come out here like you're all sticking up for one another, but I noticed your daughter didn't seem to care as much about Dominic's well-being as she did my disciple Murphy, because before she even checked on Dominic, what's this picture? Oh, look, she's checking on Murphy. Then at least you could say, okay, why is all this DNA nonsense? That doesn't mean anything. God, it's just terrible. I mean, it was so bad that I almost literally switched channels because I can't do this. I cannot do this. This is awful. The only saving grace was that little short scene between Murphy and Rey Mysterio's daughter, and that's it. And Rey Mysterio's daughter had nothing really to do with that except just facial expression. It was Murphy who sold it, who I told you is really good on the mic. God, it was just, oh my God, was it awful. It was just awful. But Todd, then we get the KO show with Shane McMahon. Oh, let's forget about it. Bygones be bygones. I know you tried to run me out of the business. I know you tried to, and you did succeed in chasing me out of the WWE, and I threatened to basically fire you, and your whole family would have not been able to survive and all this stuff, but that's okay. It's all behind us because we got Raw Underground to promote with Dabba Kato versus Braun Strowman. God, that was awful, too. Just awful. And if it's not bad enough, Aleister Black attacks Kevin Owens, and everybody's just looking like, yeah, whatever. Oh, who's this guy attacking Kevin Owens? Okay, yeah. It's just terrible. It's just terrible. Aleister Black's career is done. There's no saving Aleister Black from this. It's just awful. It's just awful how they've mismanaged and destroyed him. Kevin Owens the same way. Boy, you want to talk about a guy who's one step away from yawning. There's Kevin Owens. Every time I see him, I'm waiting for him to just go, what do I got to do? Wow, you want to talk about mailing it in. Mike, another just a disastrous segment.
Yeah, I mean, what can you say? There are some little tidbits here and there in the show that are good. You got to take it in its totality, and this is a horrible segment. I mean, I just, if I'm Aleister Black, I know he's not going anywhere because Zelina Vega is there. You know, but if I was Aleister Black, I'd want myself to be fired so that I could go back to being Tommy End, you know.
Jesus, or at least go back to NXT where you were appreciated, because this, Todd, is an abject disaster.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, it looks when Aleister Black came on the scene on the main roster, I was like, oh, I got that feeling they're gonna be hooked up with Ricochet and make be bad and everything. Now up to now with Kevin Owens, it's just not going anywhere. It haven't been going anywhere since he came on the main roster. Like you said. I think they should send him back to NXT where he belongs, and I think he was more happy there. He was on top of his game there.
Of course. I mean, he was actually being, you know, used. This is just terrible. You have totally ruined Aleister Black. I just can't believe. This is a character that's almost impossible to ruin because it's a very, very one-dimensional character. So it's very easy. It's not like, oh, you know, there's a lot of fleshing out to do with this character. No, there's no fleshing out to do. It is what it is. How did you ruin it? How could you possibly ruin this? But you did. Apollo Crews takes on Cedric Alexander. This is a good match. I don't agree. I knew because Apollo Crews is going for his title back. I knew he'd win, but... Man, having Cedric Alexander take a loss after just joining the Hurt Business is really, it's tough. And then you got this weird dynamic where they beat them down afterwards, and it's like they're clearly the heels, and yet they're kind of the faces when they go against Retribution. It's just, what can you say? That's hardly worth discussing. Also hardly worth discussing is Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler taking on Lana and Natalya. Wow. Here's what I will say. Ruby Riott needs to stay off the microphone on commentary. It was awful. We already know what's going to happen. The Riott Squad's going to win because Baszler and Nia Jax are going to implode. You see that a mile away. It's obvious. They might as well just write it down on a cue card and hold it up. Not much to talk about there. I really thought I'd be into the Riott Squad when they reformed. They're annoying. They're annoying because they're not the same. That's the problem. You've changed them. You've tried to make them something they aren't, and now it's not working. And clearly Ruby Riott, who's good on the mic normally, is uncomfortable with what you're asking her to do, and it's just not working. It's just not working. But the big one I wanted to get to is this. Raw Underground, main event, Braun Strowman versus Dabba Kato, so big they have to be on the Kevin Owens show. Out of Shane McMahon's own mouth, totally away from the WWE's shows, he said, well, we're you know, Raw Underground's work in progress. The concept behind Raw Underground is to try to promote new stars, to bring new stars up that, you know, eventually will be on Raw. And we can promote them on Raw Underground before they hit the Raw ring. So I said to myself, okay, well, Dolph Ziggler's not a new star. And he's winning every week. But I guess this Dabba Kato guy is the guy you're looking to promote because he's destroyed Kevin Owens and Aleister Black at the same time. I want you to recall that. Aleister Black and Kevin Owens were both destroyed by Dabba Kato at the same time. And easily. So I said, well, this is the guy that they're going to promote. There's no question about it. This is going to be the world beater who goes up against, you know, the top guys eventually. And then they throw Braun Strowman in the mix, and I say, are they going to throw Strowman to the wolves? Because if they do, that's terrible. You know, but at least it will make a star, I guess, out of this Dabba Kato guy if they throw him to the wolves. I was against it. You could have put somebody else in there. But I was like, well, here's where it comes. Dabba Kato is going to win this match. And they're going to say, this is a man who decimated Braun Strowman. Well, what the future holds for him is unlimited. No, He gets his ass kicked. He literally gets his ass kicked. So how are you promoting a new star? How are you? My mind is imploding with how dumb this is. We're trying to build a new star. Well, how do you do that? By having Braun Strowman knock him the fuck out? Holy crap. So let me get this straight. Braun Strowman couldn't handle the Gypsy King, who never was in a wrestling ring in his life. Dr. Kato, no problem. Knock his ass the fuck out. So there goes him. I'm not interested in him anymore. I've just seen him get knocked the fuck out. Mike, I just don't understand what they're doing.
I just don't get it either. And furthermore, you look at his look. You look at Don Mikado's look. Just look at it and tell me who he reminds you of. He's a little bit bigger than this other guy, but Lance, what's his name that's with Jake the Snake Roberts?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
He does look like him, and I thought that's what they were going to go for. And he's done. And look, another person that's probably not very happy right now, and we saw what they did with her this last night, Lana. Didn't they put her through a table?
Again, yes. Yes. Yeah, Mike, she's in for it. She's just in for it. It's as simple as that. She's going to feel the wrath of the WWE thanks to Miro. And this whole thing with her and Natty being a tag team is just, yeah, God, it's just terrible. It's not going to work, and it's just awful. Look. The WWE has reached probably the most illogical heights they've ever reached with this show. None of it made any sense. None of it made any sense. From DNA test, and maybe she's not your daughter because she paused to talk to Murphy for a minute and see if he was okay. Wow, is that really stretching it? To we're promoting people through Raw Underground, except the guy we're promoting is going to get his ass kicked by Braun Strowman, who just lost his belt. To the number one contenders for the women's championship are a woman who hasn't wrestled in 6 months except for once, and a woman who's been a manager for the last 6 months. To Tozawa getting eaten by a shark, to Kevin Owens for giving Shane McMahon and having him on the show because it's so important to promote Raw Underground. To Retribution saying we are here for the destruction and total chaos and takeover of WWE, but WWE's paying them to do it. I just don't know what to say. I just don't know what to say. It's awful. Once again, Andrade and Angel Garza is on the same page because no Zelina Vega to get in their way. To get in their way, she was the one who was preventing them from fighting. Oy, oy, oy. So the Hurt Business takes on Retribution in the main event. And they just kept saying, look at the size of these guys. Like, no one knows who Dio Madden is. He was on your announce team. And the last time we saw him, he was defending Jerry Lawler. And Jerry Lawler don't know who he is. Or Michael Cole, I don't know who he's defending, I forget. But he was defending one of them. Nobody knows who he is. Same dreadlocks, him, and nobody knows who he is. Dijakovic, I could understand. And this match, they just kept saying, these guys are, you know, pretty good athletes. Well, if they were that good, then the WWE probably would have used them before this. No, it doesn't make sense. None of it makes sense. And they just kept repeating, they've been signed to a contract. They can do anything to anyone at any time. Boy, that's some hell of a contract. How did they get such a sweetheart deal? And if they got such a sweetheart deal, how can they complain that we're overlooked? You're overlooked. You just got the biggest sweetheart deal the company ever saw. And of course, it ends with 50 more, who apparently the WWE signed unlimited amount of them. They're a member of your group. We've signed them. All flood into the ring. And here comes Drew McIntyre. And his crew. And it's just WWE against Retribution, which you already know. This is a Survivor Series match, right? You already know. And in the middle of the chaos, Randy Orton gives an RKO to Drew McIntyre. Okay. And thus closes the most illogical, ridiculous, poorly booked, poorly written, and truthfully, for the most part, poorly executed go-home show on Raw in the history of Raw. In the history of Raw. Let me just run down these things. There's no reason for the WWE to sign a group that's dedicated to their own destruction, much less give them a contract that says they can do anything they want at any time to anyone. Number two, what have you done? You've signed them all? 50 of them? 30 of them? However many there are? You signed them all? And if you signed them all, why are they mad at you? Two, Angel Garza and Andretti are suddenly on the same page and fine because Zelina Vega is no longer in the mix to turn them against one another when, in fact, she wasn't the one who turned anyone against anything. She was the only voice of reason between these two hotheads. All of a sudden, they're not hotheads anymore. And we're going to get the same match we got nine times at Clash of Champions. Seth Rollins somehow gets a DNA test out of people who don't know they were in a DNA test. Only to come to the conclusion, uh-oh, we might have tested the wrong person. And even though I don't have those results, it's clearly not your daughter because she showed some compassion to someone. Oh, okay. Well, that makes logical sense, yeah. Kevin Owens forgives Shane McMahon, and now, oh, bygones be bygones. That's the way the business works. What? Two women fight it out for the number one contendership, one of which hasn't wrestled in 6 months, and the other that was a manager right up until last week. So that makes no sense. Tozawa's apparently eaten by a shark. None of this makes any sense. There was one thing on this show that was a glimmer of decent, and that is the exchange between Buddy Murphy and Rey Mysterio's daughter. That was it. The whole 3 hours, that was it. It didn't make me want to watch the pay-per-view more. I laughed through 90% of the show. I'm saying, who wrote this? What, they win a contest? You win a contest, you get to write Raw no matter what it is. I want Tozawa to be eaten by a shark. Okay. I want Zelina Vega to be the number one contender. Okay. I mean, that's the way. This is awful. The only way I can describe this is it was as if we were in a parallel universe and they just said, forget everything that came before everything. It's awful. Worst writing I've seen in just decades, I think. And it's such a shame because if you had played Retribution right, that could have been a good team. It could have been a good team. They could have narrowed it down to five people and said, look, when we need more people, we can get more people. But we don't need more people. We're the five. It's all we need. And you could have focused on them. No contracts. Just, we don't want a contract. You had your chance to sign us to a contract. You didn't want to, remember? We were the ones you cast away, remember? So we're not putting our names on any contract for you and following your rules and obeying your regulations. We're here to disrupt and destroy. That's it. We don't want your money. We don't want your fame. We want your company. That works. No, couldn't do that. Seth Rollins could have just came out and said, hey, Ray, why don't you have a talk with your daughter? Because from what I see, she seems to care a little bit more about Buddy Murphy than she does her own brother. That would have made more sense. How come you couldn't have had Peyton Royce and I can't remember her name for whatever reason. That's terrible. the Iconics kind of battle each other out over who's going to get the title shot against Asuka, and then one be jealous of the other, but still say, oh, no, I'm on her side, because then that would have been cool if they're at ringside and we're not sure they're going to turn on one another or whatever. It would have been okay. No, you can't have any of those things. Instead, you go for the most illogical, ridiculous angles you possibly can that make no sense. And if you're going to promote people out of Raw Underground, here's a newsflash. Don't let them get beat up. Because once they're beat up, here's the indestructible Dabba Kato, who no one can take on. He destroyed Aleister Black and Kevin Owens single-handedly in 30 seconds. Oh, Braun Strowman knocked him the fuck out. Forget it. We thought he was going to be good, but no. Scratch that. Scratch that. My mind is boggled by this. And then add to it that it's a go-home show. And if it was not for the Murphy and Rey Mysterio's daughter segment, this would be an F. A total failure. I'm giving it a D-. Only because that one piece indicates they may be going the direction that is the good direction, and that is she's got something going on with Murphy, and Murphy could be playing her or could be legit, and it's going to divide the Mysterio family, which is actually an interesting angle. Aside from that, nothing good in this show. Nothing. Zero, Mike.
Not well. There's one other thing that interested me, and it was the whole segment with Montez Ford and Bianca Belair, and how if they would have done the segment before, where they said, well, she's the EST of WWE, and she's doing all these athletic, super athletic things, you know, it interested me, but it's kind of out of order, though, and I got to give it a D-, too, so yeah.
Well, you're right. It is out of order, and it's too late. That's the problem. You've already introduced her. We've already seen what she can do. She hasn't been a world beater exactly. It's not like they've, oh, wait till you see her, and now let's reintroduce her. Well, it's too late. That's like saying, oh, let's reintroduce Dolph Ziggler. This is the new Dolph Ziggler. He's a surfer, and he's incredibly agile, and he doesn't get eaten by sharks. Well, it's too late. It's too late. She's a great wrestler. She's got a great, you know, career ahead of her, but you've introduced her and then backed off on her, introduced her, backed off on her to the point now where what are you trying to do? You're trying to promote her as I'm stronger than most men, and yet she's not going to beat some women. That doesn't work. It's not going to work. She should have just been hanging with the guys, you know, where the guys are like, well, man, you can hang with us. Not totally dominating them. That's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. So, you know, I'm not even thrilled about that. I don't think it's going to help her. And you know how the WWE is. Next week, she'll be losing to, you know, Mickie James. So, who the hell knows? Todd, I think this was an absolute disaster.
You're absolutely right there. Like you said, with that spot with Murphy and Rey Mysterio's daughter, that's more like the face move right there with Murphy apologizing than a heel move. More like a face move right there, a face turn. And also, I just want to go with you on. I'm going to go with the same grade as you.
Well, listen, the thing about the Murphy thing and why I'm not giving it an F is that we don't know for sure. Maybe he's lying. Maybe Seth Rollins said, you want to get back in my good graces? We're going to set the Mysterios up and we're going to turn them on each other. You go apologize to her, make it look like you might be a little bit sweet on her. She's a gullible teenager and she's going to fall for it and we're going to divide their family. Could be that. Or it could be, well, Murphy's been mistreated lately. Maybe he's had enough of it. We don't know. Maybe the whole thing's a setup where he was mistreated. Maybe they wanted it to see that. Maybe Seth is going to say, see, they don't call me the architect for nothing. All this time I was mistreating Murphy, he knew I was going to do that because we had this plan to make it look like he probably wouldn't stay with me. There's so many branches on that tree you can pull. So that's the only bright glimmer of hope in this whole thing. Aside from that, We got one decent match, in my opinion. We got Apollo Crews versus Cedric Alexander. I thought was a decent match. Aside from that, Mike, I don't even think the matches were all that good.
Yeah, I don't think it was all that good either, and that's the thing. And And I mean, this is what makes it even worse, because it's supposedly a go home show. Now, my question is, can SmackDown be any better than this?
It can't be worse, and I think it will be better, Mike, because I'll tell you that they are handling SmackDown tremendously better. Just last Friday, we saw that moment where Roman Reigns and Jey Uso hugged and they were smiling as he's pointing to the belt. But then the minute Jey Uso turned around, Roman Reigns wasn't smiling anymore. And that was that good moment where you're like, we see what's coming. And I don't know if Jey does, because he's so convinced that Roman Reigns is his, like his brother, and would never do anything to him, that he's gullible and saying, oh, no, 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 no. But we see it coming. That's always a good angle, Mike. So I do think that's the strength of this pay-per-view, in my opinion, is the Roman Reigns-Jey Uso match is the strength of this pay-per-view, because even though we see what's coming, we're anticipating how bad is it going to be and where is it going to lead.
Right, we're anticipating that. And still, you still got some good things on SmackDown to look forward to. You know, what's going to happen with the Fiend and Bray Wyatt and Alexa Bliss and all this stuff. And how's it gonna affect Nikki Cross, because they were such good friends and all this stuff. So there's some good things on SmackDown that you can say, okay, I'm willing to put up with the bad just to get to these good things, because they can be very, very good, you know?
SmackDown is definitely being handled better. Two news items we do want to talk about. Apparently, a couple of months ago, supposedly there was covered up an NXT breakout of this COVID-19, and that they covered some of it up. They don't know who, we don't exactly know who had it, but a decent amount of people supposedly had it. Well, here's the thing. Nobody was hospitalized. Nobody died. We got to stop associating COVID-19 with you're on a ventilator taking your last gasp in a hospital bed. That's not happening anymore to 99% of the population. If they had a COVID-19 breakout, everybody got better. Okay? So stop acting like, oh, well, they took their mask off for 1 second and the COVID snuck up on them. Please. And secondly, is that we're supposed to be seeing the return of Bobby Roode. Bobby Roode supposedly is cleared to come back from Canada or whatever. He was supposed to be on last night's show, some people said, but so far, no. But probably maybe they're going to wait till after the pay-per-view, figuring that would be the best way to introduce him. Mike, I don't really think they got much for him, but I mean, I guess they're going to take another stab at it.
Yeah, I don't think they got much for him either. And that's sad, because we know how good Bobby Roode can be. He can serve a purpose. They just don't want him to serve that purpose. You know, I don't get it.
Well, they better start using some of these people, because I got news. If Raw gets any worse than it got last night, it's literally going to be unwatchable. Literally going to be unwatchable. Anyway, folks, we will be back here on Friday with our weekly report. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Wrestle Chat Radio is a Savage Blade production.